Okay, it's a tremendous tzchus to see everybody. First of all, Baruch Hashem, thank you, Eliza, for changing the minog. The tzchus to finally be back together. Before we begin, first of all, tremendous hakar satov to tonight's sponsor, a couple that I'm very, very close to that are sponsoring anonymously. And very beautiful. They wanted to sponsor this shir just really to give Hakar Satov to the Rabbonu Shalom for all the good in their life, all the chesed in their life, all that they feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bestowing upon them, and just to show tremendous Hakar Satov, which is a lesson to all of us, to always be giving Hakar Satov to the Rabbonu Shalom for everything that we have. And that's why they wanted to sponsor tonight's shir. Hoidu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Li'olam Chasdo. And Amir Hashem, this shir should be a big schus for continued bracha and simcha in their very special lives, for them and their extended family, who I personally love so dearly. Special thank you always also to Lisa for getting the word out and making the poster. And Baruch Hashem, we're back together. It's been a while. But here we see Baruch Hashem, a mile of Zoom, that even though now, you know, so many of the shiurim, I was so excited to be learning with young women throughout the country at times, and I see right now young women throughout the country, which Zoom enabled, even though you all know I'm not the biggest fan of not being in person, and I think, obviously, if we could be, it would be best to be in person. But now that I'm away for the summer, to be able to have some shiurim in such a way is very, very special, and Amir Tashem, I'm excited to gain chizik and esoris together again. And a good chodesh to everybody. A good chodesh to everybody. We enter just now, minutes ago, into Rosh Chodesh Av. And with that, we bring in the 9 days as well. And it's incumbent upon all of us to understand these days and to be able to connect to these days. And hopefully as we enter into these days in the schus of all the Torah tonight, all the chizik tonight, we'll be zocha that we're preparing for nothing. We're preparing, instead of a Tisha B'Av of sitting on the floor, hopefully a Tisha B'Av that's going to be a Moed, a big Yontiv, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. The Chavetz Chaim used to tell over about the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yosef Dov Salveitchik, that the Beis HaLevi, later in his life, he was offered to be the Rav of the people of Lita. This was after he was a Rav for a very long time in Slutsk. And he at first turned it down. First he says that I don't want to be. It was later in his life he made a decision that he's no longer going to be the Rav of a community. You know, if you speak to any shul rabbi, they'll tell you how taxing that job is, and hits a point where a person needs a different lifestyle perhaps and wants to be able again to sit and learn in a different way. And the Beis HaLevi decided his time had come. It was time to move on. And he was no longer going to be a Rav of a community. But then they told him that 30,000 Jews in Lita are waiting for him. 30,000 Yidden are waiting for him, are yearning for him to be their Rav. And he said, I can't turn that down. And he went to be the Rav in Lita. And the Chavetz Chaim says, so too would be with us if we were truly yearning and truly desiring Mashiach, whether we deserved Him to reveal Himself or not. If we really wanted Him so badly, He'd be forced to, the way the Beis HaLevi was forced to. But we have to yearn, we have to really want. You know, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, goes through, after 120, the questions that the Rabbonu Shalom is going to ask us. And one of the very first questions, one of the very first he's going to ask is, were you mitzapeh liYeshua? Did you yearn for the Geula? Did we truly yearn for redemption? The Kuzari says, and the Yalkut Shimoni as well, that if we would daven and yearn properly, there is no doubt the Mashiach would come. There's no doubt. Yes, we say the tefillas. V'li Yerushalayim Yerecha Barachim Toshuv. V'nei Yerushalayim Erekoitz B'mei Remeinu. And yes, we all enjoy, and we mean it somewhat, singing Ani Mamim B'muna Shleima. And we say Ani Mamim B'muna Shleima. The Mashiach is going to come, and we sing it. But often we sing it much more so with our lips than with our hearts. Do we really feel it? Do we really deeply desire? Or are we so comfortable in our everyday lives? The truth is, we don't even think about it much. Yes, we're trying to be good people and good Jews. But do we really yearn for Mashiach? Do we really yearn for Beis HaMikdash? Do we even know what that means? And if we would actually do it, perhaps He would be here already. Which would be the answer to all of our tzaras, and the answer to all of our tefillas, and all that we're yearning for. You know, there was a tzaddik, Reb Chaim Sinvani. Reb Chaim Sinvani was a Yemenite Jew, a big tzaddik. He lived in a city in Eretz Yisrael, in community Yehud, for over 30 years. And he went to Yerushalayim a total of one time in his life. And he davened by the Kaisel a total of one time in his life. If we lived in Eretz Yisrael, how often would we be there? One time in his life. And the Talmidim tried to ask him and understand, and he wouldn't really talk about it much. But one time, one of his Talmidim went, and he hired a taxi. And the taxi was waiting outside, and the Talmud went into the Rebbe, Rav Sinvani, and he said, I paid for the taxi already, it's taking us to the Kaisel, we're going, let's go to the Kaisel, my Ravi. And the Rav said as follows, the Rav says, our sins have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Levim singing, we don't have Kohanim bring Karbanos, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Where are we going to go? Why are we going? I cry, he said, I cry every single night for the Beis HaMikdash. Every single night I cry. You want me to go now and watch and look at the destruction? He said, one time, the Rav said to the Talmud, one time in my life I went. And I was shaking uncontrollably. The tears were streaming down in such a way, I was afraid I was going to faint. I can't go back to that place. This is a tzaddik who felt churban, who felt destruction, who was yearning for geula every moment. He couldn't even handle seeing the mosque on top of Har HaBayis that we see. Are we yearning for Mashiach? Are we yearning for geula? So, chevra, let's learn how to yearn tonight. Let's learn and understand first and foremost why we don't. At least one of the reasons that we don't. You know, the Gemara in Tainis goes through all of the terrible tragedies of Shavuos or Betamiz and of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, that most tragic of days when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, when the Meraglim, the Chei Meraglim, we were told we can't enter Yisrael. The city of Beitar, with thousands of tzaddikim, was destroyed. And the Gemara has one final tragedy that on the surface doesn't seem to compare to the rest. Doesn't seem to compare to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And a city of thousands of tzaddikim being killed out. And a whole entire nation wiped out in the desert, not able to enter Eretz Yisrael because of the Chet Meraglim. The final occurrence in the Gemara is that a Rasha Turnus Rapis, a Roman Rasha, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, he plowed over the Makom HaMikdash. He plowed over and ensured that there was absolutely nothing left. And the obvious question is, that's one of the top five tragedies of Tisha B'Av? Seems to pale in comparison to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. That he, okay, it's sad, but that place was already destroyed. There was no Beis HaMikdash. It was a broken down, burnt up building that he plowed over. Like, what's the big deal? Why is that one of the occurrences that we mourn on Tisha B'Av? Doesn't seem to make sense. First of all, just on a halachic level, the Brisker Rav explains that the Beis HaMikdash, based on a Tosefta, that the Beis HaMikdash has to be on top of the mountain of Har HaBayis. Plowing over it was flattening it and ensuring that the Beis HaMikdash can't come back until we build it up again. And that's what he was trying to say, that I don't want the Shekhinah coming back anytime soon. And unfortunately, that was close to 2,000 years ago. But that's not what I want to speak about tonight. I want to bring out a different point of this plowing over of the Makom HaMikdash, which I think each and every one of us can really, truly connect to. I saw in a Sefer Ohel Moshe. A Sefer Ohel Moshe is a beautiful Sefer on these days that I've been learning. It's a Rav Scheinerman from Brooklyn. He wrote this Sefer. And he explains in the Sefer the following idea. What was the mindset of Turnus Rafus? What is the symbolism of that makom, that place being plowed down, plowed over? So he explained, as long as the Beis HaMikdash in its destruction was still there, as long as you saw, we were able to see parts of the building, albeit being destroyed, albeit maybe burnt up and blackened. But if you saw it, it brought emotion. It brought feeling. It brought yearnings for a third Beis HaMikdash. It reminded us of our sins and what we did wrong and what we need to fix and how we don't have it all. We need more. But once that building and that place was completely plowed over and there was no remnant, there's no imprint of the Makom HaMikdash, of the Beis HaMikdash. We no longer were able to see that place, and we no longer could feel and yearn for what we're lacking, what we're missing, because we don't see it anymore. And the emotions are not there in the same way. It's similar to a Mishnah in Megillah. The Mishnah in Megillah says that if a shul, which is a Mikdash Ma'at, is destroyed, and then in that place the grass starts to grow very high and there are weeds, you're not allowed to cut that grass and pull out the weeds to make it look nice. Because we want people to see the makom of destruction so they'd have agmas nefesh, they'd feel pained and yearn for a new shul. How much more so for a Beis HaMikdash? You know why it's hard to yearn? Because we don't see. We don't see and we don't remember. We never saw. And therefore it's hard to yearn for something you don't even know what you're yearning for, and we're not reminded to yearn for it. It's out of sight and out of mind. You know, I remember, most of you are probably pretty young, but I think you should be able, perhaps, some of you, maybe some of you to remember a little bit, not sure, we have a mix of ages on our shir, but September 11th, but you've definitely learned about September 11th, 2001, when the Twin Towers were destroyed. September 11th, 2001, when the terrorists came and destroyed and killed 3,000 individuals, it was a terrible time. Specifically in New York City and in our communities. And for a long time, I was thinking afterwards that I wanted to go to that place and see it and feel what the destruction was to hopefully gain a chizik of tshuva. I didn't make it there for various reasons until Chanukah time. Now remember, this was September 11th, 2001, as you all know. Hanukkah is in usually mid to end December. It's 3 months later. 3 months later, still, some of the building was still standing, the little piece in the bottom was still standing. There was still smoke everywhere. The stench was mamish terrible. And there were still people everywhere crying. There were still signs up everywhere you looked with pictures of people that were still missing, obviously, sadly, probably never to be found. It was heart-wrenching. It was heart-wrenching. But part of that was you still saw the destruction. It was still there. Now there's a museum in that makom, and probably a very powerful one. I haven't had the opportunity to go yet. I plan on it. I don't know if some of you have. And in the makom, in the place of where the buildings stood, there are fountains. But you don't see the destruction from walking around. It's not the same feeling. I've been to that place again. It's not the same feeling. It's not the same yearning. Maybe it should be, but it's just not. When you don't have that image to be able to see and to remind us. And the Makom HaMikdash being plowed over, in a certain sense, removed an ability to mourn properly. An ability to remember what we're missing. An ability to gain that chizik from what was still standing. You know, the pasuk in Eicha that we're going to read on Tisha B'Av morning says, Yisomim hayinu ve'ein av. Yisomim hayinu ve'ein av. We are like orphans without a father. Why does it have to say ve'ein av if we're orphans clearly without a father? It's repetitive. The idea is not only we're like orphans, but we don't even remember our father. We're not just an orphan. We're an orphan who ve'ein av, there is no father. We don't see him in the same way anymore. We don't see the Makom HaMikdash in the same way. And we don't feel the Shekhinah the way we should. And if we did, we'd want him so badly back in the way that we had him with the revelations of Beis HaMikdash. But it's ve'ein av. It's ve'ein av by our side. One more raya to this. One more proof from a pasuk and understanding. You know, there's a pasuk in Eicha, I'll read you. In Perek Beis, pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, Basion, that us, ki gadol kayom shivreich. Our brokenness is as great as the sea. Mi yirpala, who's going to heal you? So Svarim bring down, first of all, Svarim bring down that this is talking about what's the comparison to the sea, to the brokenness like the sea. So I saw an amazing idea. You know, if lo aleinu, God forbid, there's an earthquake. There's an earthquake. So if the earthquake's on land, there's a lot of destruction. But there's not just destruction of buildings and of people. When the earthquake is finished, there's a remnant of the destruction. You could see the buildings broken down. You could see the trees that have been uprooted. You could see it. And you could remember it. And you could feel from that tragedy. When there's an earthquake out at sea, even if, let's say it hits a place where there's a boat, and it may destroy the boat and sink the boat. But when that earthquake is over, and minutes later, and everything, whatever it destroyed, sunk into the sea, that place, that sea, it looks as calm as ever, like nothing ever happened. And maybe that's as well, ki gadol kayam shivreich, our brokenness, our ruins is like the sea. We don't even see the tragedy. We don't even see how broken we are. And if we don't see how broken we are, which is the representation and symbolism of that land being plowed over, how could we yearn for more? How could we want more? We've forgotten what we're lacking. And now let's be honest and be real. Even after everything we've gone through this year, even after all the pain, and all the suffering and all the loneliness that this virus, coronavirus, has brought the world and Klal Yisrael, and those families that were mourning, and those families that have tremendous difficulties financially, and just the amount of time that we were disconnected from people, and still in many communities and many places. And there were people in moments talking about Geula and wanting more. But let's be real, let's be honest. Even that already for most of us has been forgotten. I don't mean we don't check up on what's going on and ultimately what's going to be with school next year. And, you know what? But let's be real. The magnitude of what it was and what in a sense it still is. Already we're desensitized. Already doesn't leave an imprint. And all the pain and suffering with other difficulties going on in society, Hamev and Yavin, that we don't need to talk about, that we were so pained by and were so confusing and so clear that the world is in turmoil, also already passed. We're good. Baruch Hashem. We have good, nice families. Everything's taken care of. For the most part, obviously there are people we need to daven for, but in our own lives, if we're healthy, and I hope we all are, Baruch Hashem, we're very, very comfortable. We're the most comfortable that the Jewish nation has ever been in Galus. And we don't sense and feel that we're in Galus. And we don't sense and feel the Churban because we don't see it anymore. And therefore we don't yearn for what we should be yearning for. Ultimate Geula. We're satiated in what we have. And ultimately we don't realize what we're missing and what we're lacking. And we're lacking so much. Every time we have to daven for a chayla, it's because we don't have Beis HaMikdash. And when those who are suffering with issues with their children, it's because we don't have Beis HaMikdash. And those who are suffering with Shiduchim, all of this, the answer of the Geula Shleima will be a different world of bracha, of simcha, of Geula for all of us in every way. If we only realized what we're really missing. But we don't see it. It was plowed over. We don't see it. So we don't think of it. Why do you think so much of our tefillah is full of yearning for Geula and for Yerushalayim and for Mashiach? Maybe that's because it's what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe Hashem's just waiting for us to truly yearn for it and it'll bring us the biggest bracha in the world. Don't we want to see that mosque on top of our Abaya is gone? Don't we want to be able to journey and go through all of Eretz Yisrael without any fears looking over our back? If there's an Arab following me as I walk through the shuk of the old city, don't we want to have a time of achdus in the proper way, of unity in Klal Yisrael, like was by our Sinai, k'esh echad b'lev echad, and no more machlokes, because I wear a velvet yarmulke, you wear a kippah srugah, and don't we want a time of complete peace? A time of health, a time of bracha, and a time when I could feel Hashem by my side every moment. A time where my ruchnius is in a different place. When I no longer have to search constantly. But again, we don't see it. We see a plowed over makom. So I don't remember. I don't think about it. So how could that change? How could that change this year? What can we do to really yearn? And these are the days. Bein HaMitzarim, these 9 days, that's what they're here for. What can we do? Now first of all, I want to share that the truth is we still do have a remnant. And that remnant is very powerful. And we've all felt that power. And that's called the Kaisel Maharavi, the Western Wall. We still do have a makom we can go to and remember and be inspired and feel and yearn. We have that makom. The Medrash and the Zohar, they all say Hashem swore to never destroy the Kaisel Maravi. Maybe it's so that we have that makom that we could look at and we could remember Beis HaMikdash and yearn for it and yearn for what it represents. I might not yearn to be a shechting animal and have blood dripping all over the place and see a nasal Levite walking around barefoot. I might not yearn for that because I don't know what that is. None of us have ever experienced that. I get it. But to yearn for all that it's going to bring and yearn for that relationship with Hashem, I go to the Kaisel Maravi, I could feel it. And therefore we have to go more often. And we have to make it part of our lives, hopefully to yearn to live in Eretz Yisrael. And if it's not to yearn to live in Eretz Yisrael because we have a good reason, it's to go as often as I can and make it a priority. Because we need that chizuk, we need that inspiration to remind us. I personally can tell, I'm a different person in Yerushalayim, I'm a different person by the Kaisel Maravi. I feel in a different way. My priorities are all in the right place compared to what they are here. I could go all the way to Eretz Yisrael just to spend a half hour at the Kaisel, and it's well worth it. You know, I remember, truth is, one time in my life, I actually went to Eretz Yisrael for 12 hours. I didn't even stay overnight. I got in one time, 12 in the afternoon, and I had a flight 12 at night. 12 hours including all the airport time. I was in Eretz Yisrael 12 hours. It was to help someone take care of something, Baruch Hashem, with a tremendous amount of atzlacha, with a lot of siyata d'shmaya. We're not going to get into the details. But what I was brought to Eretz Yisrael was to help somebody, and that was the majority of the time, was taking just care of a situation. But I was able, and even this wasn't so simple, but I was able to get a half hour at the Kaisel, the Daven Mincha and Ma'ariv. Again, I went all the way to Yisrael just to really talk to somebody for about 6 hours. But I was able to get a half hour by the Kaisel before I had to literally go back to the airport. The day, Baruch Hashem, with a lot of Siyata Shemaya, was Hatzlacha in a tremendous way. And it was well worth it for that. But I'll tell you, if it would have been just to go to Yisrael for that half hour of those tefillahs and to stand by the Kaisel, it would have been well worth it. Every trip to Eretz Yisrael, when I'm there over Shabbos, and I spend Lel Shabbos davening by the Kaisel Maravi, I always think to myself, it was well worth this hour to be all the way in Eretz Yisrael and fly all the way, if I had to fly back, well worth the trip. The inspiration, the chizik, the feeling, and that feeling of yearning for so much more, and knowing what we really should want and who we really should be, that we're reminded at the Kaisel Maravi. And I found a Kli Yakar that I want to share with you that says it so beautifully. Listen to this Kli Yakar. This is a Kli Yakar in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin. It's Kedai to read inside. I'm going to read it to you inside, because the words are so incredible, and I know that every one of us can relate. The Kli Yakar there talking about when Avraham Avinu is told to look at Eretz Yisrael by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he promises this is going to be your land, but he has to look at it. Why does he have to look at it? Listen to what the Kli Yakar says. V'chol ha-mistakel b'makom ha-kodesh ha-hu. Anyone who stares at that place, and he's talking here about the Makom HaMikdash and Yerushalayim specifically, miyad immediately, nislabesh ruach taharo ukedusha umelech elyon taharo kedusha. Immediately you are clothed in purity and holiness. You feel it, just looking at it. Not davening yet, not learning, just looking at the Makom HaMikdash. Looking at Kaisel Maravi. Umelech Elyon biyofo yisparach techazene einav. Mamish, the Rabbi Nishom is also looking at you, by the way. Uberi, and you look at, and you could see the Rabbi Nishom. Uberiya lechud, this sight alone, just looking, just seeing it. Sagi la Adam, it's enough for a person. Liknos hashlimus hahu, to acquire all perfection, all completion. Where? B'makom asher kara lo Avram Hashem Yireh. That place where Avram called Hashem Yireh, and he learns the kari ba Yireh hayud b'chirak. You could say it's Yireh. Also v'yireh. If the yud is b'tzereh, right? The word yud reish aleph hey could be Yireh or Yireh. Yireh means you see. Yireh means you are seen. Ki kederech sheba liros. Just like you could see the Ribbono Shalom there. Kach bali rose, you are seen by the Ribbono Shalom there. Ki miyad bevo shama. Right when you come there. Kishem sheshchina rose, so kachu roep neshchina. Just like the Shechina sees you, you see and sense and feel the Shechina. Umiyad nasem mushba mutzu v'dobik b'ziv Shechina so yisbarach me'ein olam abba. And immediately you feel the Shechina, and you cling to it. And it's like you're literally in Olam Haba already. And he just ends at this piece, V'lo b'chol makom be'eretz adam zoch l'shleimezu, ki em b'makom hanikra Hashem yireh v'har hamoria. This is not everywhere in Eretz Yisrael. It's specifically by the Makom HaMikdash. If you go and see it, and we've all been there, and you felt it, and I know you have, and we still can, and we still have that remnant that brings us this inspiration that we're talking about. And every year I have the schus to go to Eretz Yisrael, I hope this year, for Yom Kippur. Who knows what's going to be, but I have my ticket booked already. I figure I have to do my ishtadlus and Hashem will do the rest and bring me there. I can't imagine not being steps from Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur, like I've been Zoich over the past 10-12 years. And I started a minhag, I've spoken about it before, that even before Yom Kippur, the last hour, I go to the Kaisel, and it's almost empty there, and I put on my talos and I take tefillah zaka. I'll tell you, even if I couldn't stay there for Yom Kippur, just spending that time at the Kaisel, Erev Yom Kippur, would be worth the whole trip. And we know it. You all know what I'm talking about. So we still have that makom that reminds us of what we need to yearn for and who we need to be. Because that yearning for Gula is really also a chizik to us to be who we should be to deserve Gula. And we all need to be in that holiest of places. In Yishalayim Eir HaKodesh. We always need to be connected to it. And I'll share one last story in that makom. And I think I've shared this story before. But it's worth repeating and you'll hear the message from it. You know, many years ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur was on a Thursday one year, years ago. So I stayed for Shabbos. And that Friday night, I'll go cut to the Iker story. But I ended up first late at night by a Shalom Zacher, my close friend Josh Shapiro. I'm sure you all know Mordechai Shapiro. His older brother Josh had a baby boy, his first baby boy. And he made a Shalom Zacher. I went to the Shalom Zacher late at night after my Sudan Shari Chesed. And I was there till late. It was probably already 1:30. I was staying in the Plaza. Now it's the Leonardo. And I got there about 1:30 at night. I was with a bunch of Talmidim. We were walking back to the old city. And I don't like to take Shabbos elevators. I only walk. I was staying on the top floor. Now, you know that's like the tallest building in Yerushalayim. It's like crazy. And I look up and I was exhausted. And I'm like, I'm not walking up there. So I said, you know what? I can't do the steps now. It's my last night in Yerushalayim. I was leaving the next night. If we were in Zoichet Mashiach, I said, you know what? I'll walk with you. Instead of walking up there, I'll walk with you to the Kaisel. Go daven by the Kaisel, my last night in Yerushalayim. We get there about 2 in the morning. It's myself, about 6 Talmidim. There's maybe 4 or 5 other people there, a few Hasidim, a few other. And we're davening. Just privately ourselves. Learning, whatever anyone wanted to do. And suddenly I see this Chassid, Yerushalmi Bekisha, Brezlov Chassid, and he starts singing and dancing in front of the Kaisel. And it felt very spiritual, felt very special. I wanted to be a part of it. So I pretended like I was davening and went very close to him just to feel it. Mamash, you could feel the ruchnis. And suddenly one of the other people there started dancing with him. And once he did that, I joined in with him. And within 2 minutes, every one of us that was by the Kaisel, well, about 12 of us, are dancing together by the Kaisel Maravi on Friday night. There was no one at the Kaisel, not in our circle. And there were a few chassidim, a couple chilayim, you know how it is by the Kaisel. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful, I'll never forget that dance. We danced for maybe 15 minutes, and then we all just said good Shabbos to each other and left. 3 months later, I came back to Eretz Yisrael. Came back to Eretz Yisrael in November. And my first night in Eretz Yisrael, I eventually make my way to the Kaisel again about 2 in the morning. It was a Thursday night. There's a lot of people there. Thursday night late. And as I'm walking into the Kaisel, right then I get down to the end of the plaza when you're going to enter into the Kaisel area, this chassid comes over to me and says, "Ata zocheroti? Do you remember me?" So I look at him. He looked like every other chassid. I had no idea who he was. I had no idea. And then he says, "Harikud, Lel Shabbat, the dance Friday night." And I realized it was that chassid who started the dance. He wasn't in the Yerushalmi Bekesha with a stripe, he was in a black. And we start dancing again together to the same song that we danced 3 months earlier on Friday night. Shiru lo, zamru lo, sichu b'chal nifli yosav. Brezel v'nigin. We dance for a few minutes. Then we start talking. His name was Nachman, of course, because every Breslover family has to have a Nachman. And we speak for a few minutes and we part. I've never seen him again. But it was an incredible thing, right? Here where I am, 3 months earlier, the last person I see and I spend time with the Kaisel, with this powerful spiritual dance, is the first person I see 3 months later. What are the chances? And I'll tell you the lesson I took from it. And I think about all the time until today. It's Hashem giving me a kiss and saying, "You're always connected to the Kaisel Maravi." From 3 months ago to now, nothing's changed. You're here. Libi b'mizrach, your heart is here. And we need that as well. We need to feel that connection. We need to feel connected to that makom, whether we're there or we're not there. That holy, incredible makom, which still gives us that chizik and that asorus and reminds us of what we should be yearning for and who we should be. And those go hand in hand. I know I've spoken about both tonight. But when we yearn for geula in the proper way, it means we're not satiated in what we have and who we are. And then I want to be more. I want to bring geula to myself as well. Are we not our best selves when we're standing by the Kaisel Maravi? Who's not? We all are. I saw a story, it was crazy. That there was a Rav, he was at the Kaisel with Rav Al Yashiv Zatzal. I was by the Kaisel with Rav Al Yashiv many times on Sukkot. He was at the Kaisel with Rav Al Yashiv and they were walking back together. And Rav Al Yashiv said to him, I'm not sure, I don't believe he meant this halachically, more of a joke, but somewhat serious. He said, if a woman came to him holding a get, a divorce document that her husband gave her, but she told me her husband doesn't go to the Kaisel once a month, I would say it's not a good get, because it must be that the husband's a shoita, has a halachic status of a fool who can't give a get. Because who would live here and not go to the Kaisel once a month to gain from this inspiration and be with the Shechina? I don't think he meant it halachically, but the point's well taken. Now I know if we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, it's not as easy. But we have to stay connected and think about that makom. Whether it be even just singing Imashkachech once a day. Whatever we can do. And we need to create that imagery in our own homes. You know, there's a halacha that you're supposed to, when you walk into your home, have one amma about a foot and a half by a foot and a half area that's not painted.
so that you remember Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's real. That's true. Why? Because I need to see it so I feel it. And that's why I'm sure many of our homes, and if not, we should, to have pictures of the Kaisel Ma'aravi up, to have pictures of Yerushalayim up, to have pictures of Gedolim from Eretz Yisrael, who we yearn to aspire to emulate. But specifically pictures of that Makom. I think that alone is important. That alone is important because that brings us this Chizuk to remind us to yearn properly for the Geula. You know, Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin was a big tzaddik in the 1800s, the late 1800s. At the end of his life, he finally made it to Eretz Yisrael. His whole life he wanted to be there. And his Talmidim said that every Friday night, in his home, at one point he'd put on his hat to get himself in a bekavodik dress, in a respectful dress. He turned towards the Mizrach, towards East, or whatever it is, towards the Makom of Harabayas. And he'd say good Shabbos. He'd say good Shabbos to Harabayas. He'd say good Shabbos to Harabayas. It was real. The Shechina there was real. Maybe that's something we could take upon ourselves. Turn towards Yerushalayim and say good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, and I'm waiting for the Yom Shekula Shabbos. We need to want to be more, and we need to want and yearn to have more for Geula, for Mashiach, for a time of ultimate peace in this world and peace in our lives. And let's remember that part of why we don't is because we're just not opening up our eyes to see what we need to see because it's been plowed over. But we can create that imagery. One way physically, again, going to our stroll as often as we can and spending time in that makom, which clearly still has that makom that has the Shechina and can remind us of who we need to be and what we need to yearn for. But also to create the imagery in our own homes. To put up pictures, to put up whatever it is to remind us. As a zecher l'churban. That's something very real. So that I could yearn for Geula. And this chus that I learned, yearn for Geula. Each and every one of us will be zecher for all the Geulas in our private lives. And then we'll be zecher for the Geula b'chlal. Bez Hashem, b'karav b'yameinu. We're just entering the 9 days, but we still have time to yearn for Geula, to daven for Geula, so that we don't have to sit on the floor in Tisha B'Av. But we're zoicha to celebrate the Moed of Tisha B'Av with the Geula Shlema, b'mehera b'yameinu. Everyone should have a beautiful night and a meaningful Bein HaMitzarim. We're zoicha to greet each other, and Bez Hashem, by the time we're together, next time it should be in person in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. Have a great night, everyone.